You have your Bibles, I want you to be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 49. Genesis, chapter number 49. I want to say I appreciate the gentleman that's got me my water every night. The scripture says that if you give a cup of water in the name of a disciple, he'll not forget you. You've got a reward, and I am grateful for that. I appreciate the good singing each night by the choir, how the Lord has touched them as they've sung, and I appreciate my own family, some of them being here tonight. Appreciate my wife and our daughter and our daughter-in-law and our two grandboys. I didn't tell you I was a grandpa, did I? I am. And we're thankful for them. And it's a joy just to be able to gather together to the house of the Lord. I appreciate what God done around here last night. And I've looked forward to being back here again tonight in these services. If you're willing and able, would you stand at the reading of God's Word tonight? I want to read verse number 22. This entire chapter is devoted to the prophecies of Jacob concerning his 12 sons. They were not only given for the duration of their lives, but they are prophecies that live on. I want to read to you about Joseph tonight. Beginning in verse number 22, the Bible said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father hath prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, under the utmost bound of the everlasting hill. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. You can be seated tonight. There is a descriptive phrase that Jacob uses to describe his son Joseph. He said in verse 22 that Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall.
Tonight, I want to preach on Joseph the brother who is over the wall. Joseph the brother who is over the wall. This is a descriptive phrase that denotes that Joseph's vine is growing. It says that his vine is full of life. It describes him as not just the normal, but he is the abnormal. He is not just the commonplace. He is uncommon, not just the ordinary, but the extraordinary. For his branches are reaching over the wall. Tonight, I want to challenge you and I to become a Joseph. Not to be satisfied with just the common and ordinary, but that we might grow and be vibrant and reach our branches across the wall and experience greater blessings and help from our God. I realize tonight that many are stagnant and dormant in their Christian life. But I want to be full of life. I want to have joy and gladness. I want to feel the good sap of the Spirit of God rising up in my life. I want to be able to reach over the wall for the glory of God. John chapter 15, as your pastor has so aptly preached in days past and gone, says that God the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. And tonight, I realize that these verses deal with Joseph and his bough. It is a fruitful bough. There are clusters of grapes. There is an abundance of life hanging on the vine. And tonight, the only way we'll ever glorify our Father is to bear much fruit. Don't be satisfied with just reading the Bible. Delve into it and muse on its truths, and let God's word stir in your heart and in your life. Let your vine grow over the wall. The scriptures tonight deal with the fruitfulness of Joseph's life. I realize there are three areas of emphasis about Joseph here. There is Joseph and his blessings. They're not just temporal, they are eternal. There is Joseph and his bow. The scripture says, but his bow abode in strength because his arms were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. But tonight, I want to look at Joseph and his bow. There are three things I want to leave with us tonight about Joseph and his bow. You'll find that for you and I to become fruitful in our Christian experience, number one, we have to have a good relationship with the well. The Bible said that he is a fruitful bough or bough even by a well. Tonight, the only way that you and I can bear fruit, we've got to have a good water supply. The only way when everybody else is drying up and withering away, the only way you can continue to bear fruit to the glory of God is to know where your water source is at. You've got to be close by well. And tonight, aren't you glad God has given us some wells in our Christian experience? The reason a lot of folks have stopped bearing fruit and they have stopped growing is they've got away from the well, the water source for their life. You say, well, preacher, where is a well for our Christian experience? Well, I'm here to tell you right here is a well of water for a believer's life. Oh, how the Word of God will give you moisture and it'll give you something to drink. It will thrill your heart. Oh, what a blessing it is when you go to studying God's Word and all of a sudden it becomes alive in your life. It'll refresh you. It'll wash you. It'll cleanse you. It'll guide you. It'll direct you. We've got to live close to the well. Joseph. And being a fruitful bough, his branches are running over the wall. And I'm here to tell us tonight, the house of God is a good well. I'm thankful for every time I've walked in dry and weary from the work of life and the way of travel. Oh, it's a blessing to come into God's house, find some water flowing, find there's refreshment and strength around God's people down at God's house. He is a fruitful bough by a well. He has a relationship to the well. But there's a second emphasis. He also has a relationship with the wall. The Bible said that he is even a fruitful bough by well whose branches run over the wall. Thank God for the wall. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, in those days, a man's property was protected by erected stone walls. The husbandman who plants his vineyard would build a wall around the boundaries of his property, and within the confines of the wall, every vine that belonged to the husbandman was planted within, And the Bible said that Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. You see, the wall identifies that vine, that it belongs to somebody. It belongs to that husbandman. He's not outside the wall. He's not a wild vine growing. He is inside the wall. Somebody has purchased him. Somebody has bought him. Somebody has planted him. Oh, I'm glad tonight that I'm inside the wall. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price tonight. Joseph is identified by the wall. He is the property of another. Aren't you glad Jesus paid it all? He bore the penalty of our sins. He paid the debt you and I could never pay. And tonight he redeemed us, as the choir sang a while ago. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm inside the wall tonight. The wall refers to identification. But the wall also has something to do with protection. I remember as a little boy, my grandmother had two or three garden spots. And I remember the one she had across the road down in the low ground of that little valley. She planted a corn there. But down in that valley, there's a lot of groundhogs. And them groundhogs liked a good garden. There wasn't any protection other than they set some traps to catch them. But the point is simply this. There was nothing to protect the garden from the wild beast and the animals that would destroy the crop. But I'm glad, hallelujah, there's a wall built around Joseph. He's a vine within the wall. He's got somebody to protect him. He has somebody to look after him. And tonight, we get in trouble when we want to stay outside the wall. But tonight, there's help. There is safety. There is refuge around the house of God. The wall has to do with protection and identification. But thirdly, the wall has something to do with transformation. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, you don't have to go very far till you're going to see rocks everywhere. That land is blessed with rocks. And to be able to have a vineyard that could produce and bear fruit, that husbandman could not plant his vines in rocky ground. That ground had to be cleared. It had to be plowed. those huge stones instead of being hauled away and cast in a pile. Every time that husbandman found a stone, he had hoisted over to the boundary line, and there he started his corner, and by the time he worked his ground, he had enough rock to build him a wall all around his property. He took that which was a detriment, that which would defeat him and discourage him, and became a blessing and an aid to his life. And it would be a blessing for you and I, and I'm preaching to myself tonight, to take the things in life that would want to defeat us and turn them around and make them a source of our victory, a source of our triumph. In the Civil War days, there was said a plantation owner owned a huge piece of property. And on one side of his plantation farm, there was an old gentleman that had two or three acres of land. And the plantation owner wanted to run him out. He wanted his property. And he commanded his servants to take all the dung out of the barns and go and dump it over the wall on that old man's property. And he said, surely that old man will get tired of the smell and the stench. He'll be humiliated. He'll want to leave. But when fall or late summer come, that old man was digging up taters. That old man was tearing off corn off his stalks and gathering in green beans. You know what he done? He took all of that dung that was meant to run him away. He just worked it in his ground. It fertilized his soil and it brought forth a bountiful harvest. Hey, tonight, that's what we need to do with the things that would defeat us. We need to transform them into a blessing. Joseph and his bow. He has a relationship with the well. A relationship with the wall. But there's a third thing implied. You have to read in between the words. But there had to be a relationship with the workman. Somebody was in charge of working the soil. Somebody was in charge of watering the vine. Someone was in charge of caretaking the property. And tonight, when we think about our own lives and who is our caretaker, I would submit to you it is the sweet Spirit of God who is the workman in our vineyard. He is the one who caretakes. He is the one that bears water and fertilizes. It is him that gets down and digs about our roots so we can produce to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got a workman tonight. Now, I know your pastor is probably preach this to you, but over there in John chapter 15, where he said, those branches that don't bear fruit, he taketh away. And most people look and read that and they think, well, He'll just cut them off. They're good for nothing. But the word there taketh away. The same word that John the Baptist uses when he sees Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That phrase means that workman gets down on his knees, and that branch that is close to the ground, he lifts it up, he raises it up, and you know what he does? He'll take water, wash off all the mud, all the grime that's come from the earth, clean it up, and then he'll stake up under it, point those branches upward toward heaven. The only way you and I can ever bear any fruit is to go to reaching upward. Hallelujah, aren't you glad for the times when the Spirit of God comes to your life? There's dirt and grime. He doesn't cut us off. Wanna be cut off. We're sorry livers, but I'm glad he comes along and he washes our branch, and he lifts us up. He stakes us upward. He's our workman tonight. Hallelujah. Had him to do it to me a lot of times. I want to give you this, and I'm done. You can be coming around, Brother Chad, getting us an invitation. I want you to think for a moment. Have you ever seen a cornfield? A soybean field, wheat field, riding down the road. Have you ever noticed the outside row? Now, I'm not a farmer, but I am observant. And if you look, for the most part, that outside row is the scrawniest. The growth of the corn is stunted. It's not like the other stalks inside on the inside rows. It hasn't grown like the other because it's on the outside row. You know where Joseph was planted? He wasn't planted in the middle where he had protection by other vines. No, his branches were growing over the wall. That meant that he had to be on the outside row. He had to be on the end of a row, possibly. And that is not a good place to be able to grow like he grew. In fact, his growth should have been stunted. He shouldn't have ever achieved what he achieved. But I'm just here to tell you, Joseph never lost sight of the presence of God in his life. He could have let his heart become overwhelmed by the bitterness toward his own brothers and toward his own friends. But I'm glad he recognized that the Lord was with him, even in the prison house. Hallelujah, he is planted on the outside row. But I'm glad he knew where the well was. And he knew where the wall was at. And he had a good workman that came by and watered him. Tonight my challenge is, you need to be a Joseph for your family. A Joseph for your Sunday school class. A Joseph for your home, for your church, for your choir. God's he's looking for somebody that'll let their branches grow over the wall. Not just be ordinary, but go beyond the ordinary and experience much fruit to the glory of God. Would you stand tonight?